As just before Lent, as many of you are aware, I went on retreat, and it was not an easy time. You should be careful for what you ask for. I knew I needed to spend time before God, and then God showed up. It's not the easiest of things. And right in the middle of it all, I had a terrible nightmare, which I'm just about to share with you. For those with a nervous disposition, look away now. And in it, I was driving a car, but I was aware that I wasn't really being able to control the speed of the car. And it was interesting, as I looked back, I realized that I was actually driving on a bit of a road that I knew very well, and I'd driven many times back in England. And it was a bit of dual carriageway, which you think, oh, yeah, like the motorway. And I think, no, not like the motorway, because it was very narrow and it's very twisting and it's barely two lanes wide. And it was the only passing place for miles, and it was, so quite often you'd find yourself travelling at about 120k, overtaking on a fairly tight bend. And I always remember, I feel my knees going now as I remember it. And in the dream, I was this was what was happening. Cars were going past me, and it was dark, and it was raining, and the light was just barely enough to see. And then the road suddenly swung uphill to the left. And I put my foot down to accelerate up the hill and realized that there were no lights and I couldn't see anything. And it was so realistic, I just woke up in a blind terror out of it. That sense of not being in control, which I think was part of what was going on. And we don't like not being in control. It's a terrible feeling. And in those circumstances, and we just, because we spend so much of our time and our energy, as it were, being in control and knowing what's happening and being sure and confident and walking around and being in charge, that when things break in that so disturb it, that we lose all sense of our bearings and who we are and where we are. And it's terrifying. Well, when I was thinking of that, I couldn't help think also of 56 years ago to this very day, 1st of April, 1962. Not that I remember it, but I do have a sort of recollection because there's a piece of card I've got at home. It says, St. Michael and All Angels, Stanex, Carlisle. It's my baptism certificate. I was baptized on the 1st of April. I always think it's God's kind of joke. But I was kind of reflecting on that and that sense of not being in control. And I think it's one of the most powerful arguments for infant baptism, because baptism isn't about us deciding to get in the life of God. It's about God taking us up into his life. It's not about our choice. It's not about me doing what we always do, which is, well, here we are and we know how the world works and I have choice A and I have choice B. I have choice to be baptized and follow Jesus or choice B not to. And that really isn't the scriptural witness at all. You know, it's not the way it is. And the Christian life is not a life that we kind of control at all. Well, this really brings us into Mark's gospel, and Mark's gospel probably isn't our favourite Easter morning gospel. We want John, and I don't know about you, but whenever I listen to John's account of the resurrection with Mary in the garden and the stuff with the thinking she was he was the gardener and Rabboni and all of that, and we kind of have an image of, you know, the kind of glowing Jesus and there's flowers there and there's probably bunnies and everything is happy and nice, and there's almost a degree of unreality about it. Mark just won't allow us, indulge us in that way. His account is sparse and it is spare. And there is no, Jesus is not present. All you have is an empty tomb and these women who have come to the tomb. These women who have followed Jesus for 3 long years, and they've been there all the time, and they're always there in the accounts. They're just always there. It's interesting, John's gospel just has Jesus keeps running into women. And they're always there. And they have gone. They have gone, unlike most of the disciples, they have gone to the cross. And they have seen Jesus being crucified and crucified. And they have heard his cry of dereliction. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then nothing except death. They had given themselves over to this Jesus of Nazareth. They'd invested themselves entirely in him. He was their entire existence, their entire life. Their entire life lay in ruins on Good Friday. And we need to remember that. That the investment, you know, and Peter foolishly saying, no, I will, you know, even to dare to say, I'll go and die with you. There's a sense of there's something about you that I cannot let go of. And so the investment of these women in the life of Jesus, they have given their whole lives to him. And he has taken their all of their lives. And where has he taken them? He's taken them to the cross. And there they have seen his life end, and theirs as well. Imagine the context. It's so hard to get our heads into, but you know, they know that Jesus, his enemies are many, and this is what they've done to him. You know, the religious authorities, the civil authorities, all the powers have done this to him. And then they must step out somehow into the world, having seen what has been done to him and known as his. It reminds me very much of what St. Paul says about baptism in the 6th chapter. You know, do you not know that we were, all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? This is what has happened. They've been baptized into the death of Jesus because their entire life has been wound up with him. And so when we come to Easter morning, we must understand that that's the context, and this is what's happened, that their life has come to an end. It's a catastrophe. It's a terrible thing. But what happens next is, in a sense, just as terrifying, if not more so. They see the empty tomb, and they don't go, oh, thank goodness for that. No, they flee from the tomb in terror and amazement, because the tomb, that empty tomb, has said to them, they can't go back to their old life, but now they must go into a way of life that they don't even begin to know what it is. They just don't understand what life is. You see? They can't go back. How can they possibly go back? They have died with Jesus. All their hopes have been extinguished. Their way of life, their existence. How can they go back to that? But they must do something, and they must go forwards. And they're terrified because they don't know what it means. The old way of life that we were sure of and made sense lies in ruins, and then out of nowhere, a new life is revealed. A new life that we don't know anything about. We can't go back to life as usual. You can't go back. I was kind of pondering how a way of expressing this, and of course I thought about my baptism that, of course, I can't remember. And then I thought about something actually that is universal to all of us, and none of us can remember. It's said that when a woman gives birth, a few moments afterwards, there's this great flood of hormones and bits and pieces that basically kind of erase the memory It's the only rational explanation I can find, having observed five births, for anybody wanting to do it more than once. It's that forgetfulness. But of course there's another trauma, and all of us have forgotten it. We can't remember it. It's a trauma of actually being born. What's it like? What's it like to be born? And nobody can remember. You see? And maybe that's a good thing, because maybe it's just so terrifying. Pardon me, but literally bloody terrifying. Yeah? Because, you see, there you are, you see, and your entire existence has been one of warmth. And mysteriously, you're just fed and you don't even think about it. And everything is warm and kind of gentle. And even if your mother's moving around, well, even if she's dancing, for heaven's sake, there's still, you're cushioned and everything is nice. And it's dark, but you don't even realize it's dark. You see? You don't even realize that you can't see. And it's just nice. And then, out of nowhere, for some reason that you can't fathom, something pushes you, kicking and screaming, out of that nice, comfortable place. And all of a sudden, the light of a thousand suns that you never knew existed blaze into your imagination. And all these kind of half-muffled things that you pondered about kind of become real, and everything is too loud, like the vicar with his microphone turned up too high, and it's just too much. And it's no wonder the baby is born into the world and starts to bawl, because it's terrifying. And what are you going to do? You haven't got a clue what it means to live in this new life. And this is why Jesus uses this metaphor. You must be born again. You must step out of that old way where you thought you knew you were safe and secure and all the rest of it, in order to follow me. There is a danger in the church this year. I was exploring this with somebody after the service this morning. And there's a danger because we kind of just go round the circle. And we have like ordinary life, and the church's calendar, we even call it ordinary time, and we just get on with our ordinary lives, ordinary lives, ordinary lives, and then we kind of go, right, okay, it's time for a special time, and then we do Lent, and we pray, and maybe we fast, and maybe we give some extra money to the poor, and those things, and we kind of do these things that don't quite fit in with our ordinary life, and that's actually really important, because the life of Jesus isn't about our ordinary life, and it's trying to take us into a new place, And so we do that, and then we come to Holy Week and we parade up the drive, for heaven's sake, and the singing, and it's, you know, and it's all a bit public, and then we have these different services all through the week, and we come to church at times when we're not used to coming, and it's inconvenient, and then we have a Eucharist on Thursday evening. For heaven's sake, what's that about? And we're doing all this stuff, and what it's doing is it's preparing us, it's leading us up to this point. And then on Good Friday, and we took our acorns and we looked at them and we considered them as those lives that were kind of actually rather nice and shiny and well proportioned, and then we came to the cross and we placed that into the dust and the dirt of the soil. Because this is what Jesus has done, and that's what we do. And the acorn hasn't a clue about what comes next. And then we come to Easter. And the danger is this. The danger is that we have ordinary life, ordinary life, ordinary life, Lent, Holy Week, Easter. And then we just go back. But you can't go back. Nicodemus gets it right. Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? Well, the answer is no, once this has happened. There is no way back. Once you've been brought out of Egypt, you can't go back. The Red Sea, the waters all come back. There's no way back. There's only a way forward. But what is it? What is this new life? How shall we live? Well, the answer is given to us first by Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he faces that giving up his life. And he says to the Father, not my will, but thine. because that's the only life we've got now. That's how it is for us Christians. Once we're baptized, the only life we've got is the risen life of Jesus. He is our life. He is our existence. How then shall we live? Well, certainly not as those who are in charge of their lives. But perhaps the words of the angel to the women give us the direction. Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as you told you. He has raced ahead of us. He is alive in the world. And the only life we have is with him. And we must go out and find him and live under his good, kind authority, discipline and control. And then we bear the fruit for the kingdom that God longs for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.